Vatican documents being held for ransom.
Both documents were stolen from the Roman Catholic Church archive almost 20 years ago. But the theft of the two documents had not been made public before Sunday.
Where lost luggage goes.
You would be surprised at jackets and eyeglasses, neck pillows, blankets, but laptops and Kindles and iPads and, you know, all kinds of expensive electronics.
I'm Christopher Jones Cruz at the Voice of America in Washington. Katie Weaver and I will have those stories for you today. And in his weekly technology report, Jonathan Evans will tell us why scientists are studying worms in space.
He says he thinks scientists can find genes in the human genome similar to those in the worms that responded to microgravity.
Then we bring you our regular weekday series, The Making of a Nation. Today, you'll hear about Theodore Roosevelt. He was president of the United States during the early years of the 20th century.
Roosevelt worked hard to improve America's relations with Japan, yet he made clear that the United States would defend its interests in Asia and the Pacific.
This is As It Is, a daily 30-minute program from VOA Learning English. Every day we bring you news from and about America and the world, and we tell you the history of the United States. We're on the radio, on the web, and we come to you on a podcast. We are wherever you are. We're the Voice of America. The Roman Catholic Church says someone is demanding payment to return two rare documents. One is a letter signed by the artist Michelangelo, who died in 1564. He painted the Sistine Chapel ceiling, part of the Catholic Church headquarters in Italy. The church has not given details about the other document. More on this now from Katie Weaver.
Both documents were stolen from the Roman Catholic Church archive almost 20 years ago. But the theft of the two documents had not been made public before Sunday. The Italian newspaper Il Messaggero first reported the incident Sunday. Later, Church spokesman Father Federico Lombardi confirmed it happened. Father Lombardi says someone contacted the cardinal who runs St. Peter's Basilica and offered to get the documents back for a price. He does not say what the price was, but he says the cardinal refused the demand for payment. However, Il Messaggero says the person was a former Vatican employee and had asked for 100,000 euros. The spokesman says a nun who worked in the Vatican archive informed officials in 1997 that the documents had disappeared. They were removed from the archive of the Vatican Department that takes care of the Basilica, known as the Fabrica di San Pietro. The archives contain numerous documents concerning the history, design, and construction of the world's largest Christian church. The spokesperson does not say why the Vatican had not announced the theft before. He says both the Italian and Vatican police are now investigating the case. I'm Katie Weaver.
Mm-hmm. listening to As It Is from the Voice of America. Most people who fly on passenger planes in the United States do not lose their bags called luggage or baggage. Even if the luggage is lost, it is usually only delayed. Most lost luggage, in fact, is found in a few days. Airlines search for the owners of unclaimed bags for up to 3 months. But when the owners cannot be found or the bags are not claimed, they are sold to a store in the small city of Scottsboro in the southern state of Alabama. People who shop there often find good products for low prices. About one half of 1% of all luggage passing through U.S. airports is unclaimed. Many of the missing bags and what is in them are sold at the unclaimed baggage center. 7,000 items arrive at the store every day. VOA spoke to Tom Barnes as he was shopping at the store.
I can go into any of the large shopping centers, like the International Malls and that. I can walk through there for an hour and come out with three items. I come into the store, I come out with my car full of stuff.
Brenda Cantrell works at the store.
Well, Unclaimed Baggage Center is the only store in America that buys and resells unclaimed baggage from the airline industry. So you would be surprised at jackets and eyeglasses, neck pillows, blankets, but laptops and Kindles and iPads and, you know, all kinds of expensive electronics.
Other items sold by the store include diamond rings, wedding dresses, musical instruments, and old typewriters. The store says it once sold a container for flowers for $80 that was found to be worth $18,000. And it says a painting it sold for $25 was later found to be worth $25,000. The store buys the luggage from the airlines. It does not examine the things inside them before buying them. Only about half of the items in the bags are suitable for sale at the store. The store receives mostly clothing which is cleaned before being sold. One young lady found some clothing to buy.
Buying a black jacket, a ski jacket, express jacket, North Face fleece, and another black jacket.
The Unclaimed Baggage Center is a huge store, and it has become one of the top places for travelers to visit in Alabama. More than 1 million people visit the store from around the world every year. Elvira Southard has come from Colombia.
What do you think about this one? Look good?
Some people say it is not fair to the owners of the lost luggage to sell their goods. Customer Daniel Martin is not one of them.
I feel like the airport may try to find the people that lose the things. So I guess if they've tried and they can't get a hold of them, I guess it's better than like throwing it away or just letting it rot in a warehouse somewhere.
Kayla Wilborn works at the store.
All right, so this is our unclaimed baggage experience.
Ms. Wilborn says the store chooses a customer every day to examine a bag and decide what happens to items in it.
We have a shirt, and we check for condition to see what kind of brand we have, to see if there's any rips or holes or stains.
Since the store opened in the early 1970s, people have come to look for low-priced goods and unexpected finds.
I have been dragging around your sensitive ego, making sure that your bags arrive on time for the dog and pony show. A leather suitcase like a brick, it kind of makes it hard to get a good grip. I drop your troubles off at the conveyor belt. I hand you a ticket to go get it yourself. As our biggest train, you got a lot of luggage in your name. And when you hit the ground, check the lost and found, cause it ain't my problem now. I can't carry it on. I got a lot of troubles on my
scientists are studying worms in space. Why, you might ask? Well, Jonathan Evans is here with his weekly technology report to tell us.
Humans are well equipped for life on Earth, but in space, it is a different story. Low or zero gravity changes how the blood flows and causes motion sickness, muscle loss, and tiredness. Weightlessness can also cause bone loss. But scientists at the University of Delaware are experimenting with little worms to better understand how space travel affects astronauts. The millimeter-long worm is called C. elegans. The see-through invertebrate is often used in medical studies because its life is only about 2 weeks long. 70% of its DNA is the same as human DNA. Chandran Sabanaigam is a scientist with the University of Delaware. He built a microgravity simulator to test how C. elegans would perform in the actual zero gravity of space.
Imagine if you have a container of water and you put an object in it and it begins to settle to the bottom. But before it hits the bottom, you flip the container upside down, and now it has to fall back down to the bottom. Before it reaches it, you flip it again. Essentially, this instrument rotates, and the object never hits the bottom. So essentially, it's in free fall, similar to a satellite orbiting the Earth.
Scientists use a computer to watch the worms as they turn. The computer shows the worms as they would look under a microscope. Mr. Sabanaigam says the worms turn around and around in the simulator for about 1 week. After about a week, the scientists take out the worms. They look for changes in the worm's epigenome. The epigenome are chemical markers that tell the DNA in the cells how to perform. The epigenome can be changed by the environment. And those changes pass from one generation of worms to the next. Mr. Sabanaigam studies the epigenome as it relates to microgravity.
When the worms are in a liquid environment, that some epigenetic marks persist even when we take the animal out of the liquid environment and put him back onto the normal ground conditions. So its offspring retains this epigenomic memory of the parent's liquid environment or microgravity environment.
The information the scientists have gathered suggests that the epigenomic marks appear during the early part of a worm's life. Mr. Sabanaigam says identifying epigenomic marks is important for human studies in the future. He says he thinks scientists can find genes in the human genome similar to those in the worms that responded to microgravity. He says scientists could possibly observe those genes closely when astronauts travel in space. Chandran Sabanaigam expects C. elegans to visit the International Space Station within 2 years. He says he hopes information gathered from the worm studies can be used to develop simple, low-cost, and quick tests to measure an astronaut's health. And that's the VOA Learning English Technology Report. I'm Jonathan Evans.
Thanks, Jonathan. Now on our daily The Making of a Nation program, we tell you about Theodore Roosevelt. He was the President of the United States during the early years of the 20th century. He was a forceful leader. His national policies led to social reforms and federal protection of nature.